Friends, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us again this week for another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. And today we have a very important topic, and this is the topic of overcoming defeatism. This is by far one of those defects that we have to be watchful of, but with such an intensity and a degree of attention, because defeatism will take you away from the path just like that. In a heartbeat. But like we always start all of our Gnostic labs and our lectures in the public chamber, we always like to initiate with a quote from the master Samael Aumbeorum. And Samael says, "We live our entire miserable life going from one extreme to another. Victory and defeat, like and dislike, pleasure and pain, failure, success, this, that, etc. We need to free ourselves from the tyranny of the opposites. And this is only possible by learning to live from moment to moment." And in this swing of the pendulum that, by the way, as we have already learned, the law of the pendulum is one of those mechanical laws of nature. We are constantly going from one extreme to the other. Well, it is very expected that as we get engaged in this particular work, that there will be times in which the work will be very fruitful, where we would feel that we are making a tremendous change. And also, there will be a time in which we're going to be at conflict with ourselves relevant to the work. We would feel that there is no progress, that maybe things are not working. And allow us to tell you this. Samael says, if you think that things are going great, most likely they aren't. And he says, if you think that things are really not going that great, keep working. Keep working, because it is in those difficult circumstances of the psychological gymnasium that is life that we truly discover ourselves. And there is one aspect of each one of us that is constantly lingering in the shadows. This inferior aspect of us is called defeatism. This is the psychological aggregate of defeat. This is not defeating others and overcoming circumstances, but seeing ourselves incapable of dealing with the circumstances. Of thinking that things are just too complicated, that we should leave it for later, that we should not deal with it. This is what defeatism is. And defeatism relies on the interaction of many of our other psychological aggregates, because behind defeatism, we can always find fear, we can find self-appreciation, we can find self-consideration, we can find self-love, we can find any attribute that we may think that we can give ourselves, weakened, bent, affected. When there are resentments, when we feel betrayed, when we feel that life has been unjust, when we feel that the work is just not delivering the results that we anticipate that it would, defeatism is already knocking at the door. Let us tell you this. We need to be as astute as the ego, or even more astute. Because like every other psychological defect, defeatism does not show itself ever in full force. Just like anger has many faces as well. See, with a few exceptions of perhaps those who are very perverse, nobody goes from sitting themselves in the living room, standing up and going out and murdering someone. See, those egos don't just show up like that. Of course, except in the few exceptions where they are those who are very perverse. But when it comes to us, pretty much the rest of this normally abnormal population, we would start with frustration, and that frustration will continue to build into some kind of anger, and that anger would turn to desperation, the desperation would turn to rage, and before you realize, rage has become rampage, and the person is out there doing things that they never thought that they would have ever done. Lives get destroyed, families get affected, the social circle gets shaken. But you see, it goes through different aspects, each one of them leading to one that is more complex and more aggressive. The same thing happens with lust. It starts with a little flirt. It starts with some more smiles. It complements itself with adding more time together. And before you realize, things start escalating to the point that we find ourselves, we have crossed the line. Defeatism is not any different. It would always start in ways that are so subtle that if we are not watching, we will not notice that it even took place, because defeatism will tell you, this is going to be hard. It tells you, this is going to be painful. It tells you, maybe we should do a consultation of the tarot so that we can see how bad it's going to be, so that we can decide if we do it now or we do it later. This is the way that it always starts. It always starts playing with our elements of fear. And that fear is certainly deeply rooted, because at some point in our history, it does not matter how long the timeline has been, at some point in our history, all of us as human beings were enjoying of the phenomenal bliss and happiness of that place known as paradise, of that Garden of Eden. At some point, we had a consciousness that was fully awakened, and with it, all of its faculties were present. Back then at that time, we were kings and queens of nature. But we know that something happened. We ate of that forbidden fruit. And the moment that that happened, we all fell. And the falling that we experienced was the loss of all of our superior faculties and senses. And suddenly, we found ourselves deprived of clairvoyance and telepathy and the ability to unfold consciously, leave the body behind, unfold consciously in the astral body, or get the physical body in jinn state. We lost the ability to dominate the elementals. We no longer could communicate with the stars, with those great masters, with the souls of other planets. We just lost that ability. And the sadness, the suffering that that brought, invited us to start trying to get crafty, to get back into that previous condition as fast as we possibly could. And we tried many things. We tried having things that didn't work. We tried becoming things that did not work either. We tried by doing all the things that just ended up yielding very poor results. And every time we tried something new and it didn't work, we just put it aside. We did not take it through its whole cycle of creation, a cycle of action, where things are born and they grow and develop and eventually they reach a peak. And we would have allowed some forces of nature to help bring those cycles of action to an end, like everything else on creation. But we created them. They didn't work. We moved them aside. This does not work. And suddenly those entities, those aggregates, started assuming influences, and we started creating more things around them to try to overcome other things. Before we realized, we were in a maze, in a labyrinth that was so deep. And we went from being those beautiful creatures of Adam and Eve, perfect creatures in the Garden of Eden, to becoming excommunicated, to being outside of that realm of happiness and deep in this realm of deep substance. And the more stuff we kept trying, and the more failures we continued to experience, and thus those psychological aggregates of defeatism started showing themselves up. And what happens with defeatism is that, like every other psychological aggregate, it shows itself in a way that is amiable and friendly. It is non-threatening at all. And as it is there, it tells you, yeah, maybe we shouldn't try that now. It tells you that practice that could allow you to unfold in your astral body. What happens if you get hurt in your astral body? Nobody's going to get hurt in their astral body. Everybody unfolds in their astral body every day of their lives, every life. And everybody wakes up in the morning. But it starts planting and nourishing those elements of fear. It tells you this practice that you should do, working with these elementals, what if something goes wrong? You see, it starts setting barriers that are completely unnecessary. It characterizes itself because it sets limitations. And if we are not watchful of this, we will continue conditioning ourselves to inabilities. We will start hindering our progress at all levels, intellectual, emotional, vital, physical. We will hinder our efforts. And we will continue bringing about newer phases of defeatism. And one day you decide to take some action and do a practice. And as you're doing the practice, or as you're working with the elementals, or those of you more advanced students are doing work of theurgical magic, and suddenly you are not noticing the results, defeatism will not tell you, did you see? It didn't work. It will not say that. It will start saying, I wonder what happened. I wonder what I did wrong. And it will start then planting seeds of doubt. And the moment that those seeds of doubt start getting planted within the philosophical earth, ourselves, if we are not watchful, we will turn ourselves into a field of weeds. Because then we're going to be doubtful at the moment of doing our table exercises to unfold in Jin State. Then we will find ourselves doubtful at the moment of trying to do a practice with the 20 or so different keys that we have learned to unfold consciously in our astral body. Before long, we will find ourselves doubtful of the whole doctrine itself. And how is it that this looks? So that you can actually see it, so that this becomes very tangible to you. Well, you would be resting on your bed at the time you're going to sleep. You would be breathing comfortably. You have relaxed your body. You're chanting your mantras, whether it is the mantra S or Laras, or whether it is the mantra Ephraim or Hito. It does not matter which mantra you're chanting for astral unfoldment. But as you start feeling that your body is getting ready, it's reaching that point between being awake and being asleep, the defeatism will show up with its seeds of doubt and will ask, are we relaxed enough? Should we chant one more mantra? Should we take another deep breath? Are we doing the right thing? And suddenly, when you were naturally reaching that transition state, when you were about to get at that point in which you would have been receiving those initiating elements that would have told you, stand up and jump so that you can leave your physical body behind, you once again identify with the physical form. And once you do that, all of that relaxation goes away and you are once again in a degree of stress. And of course, you cannot unfold in your astral body. But this is for the practices. When defeatism starts showing itself up, and suddenly you start wondering, am I really eliminating the defects? Is this actually working? Am I actually being able to handle these difficult circumstances that I am receiving? You see, you start discarding every previous small victory that you have experienced. You take whatever foundation you created in your experiential faith and you start eroding it. And before long, you don't have anything to stand on. Before long, you're wondering, why am I even doing this? As a matter of fact, defeatism is so astute that the moment the students get into Gnosis, they start noticing that what they think was the ideal life that they were living before, that ideal disappears. And they say, you know what? My life was fine until I joined Gnosis, and then everything started getting complicated. Ever since, I have been having problems. This is what they say. Now, they are truly aware of the conflicts. They are aware of the problems. You know, things just don't happen overnight. These are things that were just happening. But now, we're more aware. And the moment we do that, we start doubting. You know, this is supposed to bring happiness, but why is this happening? Should it be like this? Defeatism is here to help perpetuate the existence of all of our other psychological aggregates. There is an instinctive element in all of them, and they will all fight for their self-preservation. Friends, the moment that you are equipped with the know-how, with the tools, with the methods, and you know how to apply them to get rid of all of these inhumane aspects that exist in yourself, defeatism is going to show up. And it is going to distract you enough so that you, on your own, you let go of the tools that you have been given. You let go of the practices. You let go of the doctrine, and you just walk away. Because all the ego is looking is to protect itself. And all that we are looking with this work is to find it so that we can understand it, comprehend it, and invoke of a power that is superior to the mind so that it can be reduced, so that as a cage, it can be broken to allow the consciousness to be set free. That is the whole purpose of Gnosis. And of course, the ego does not want that. Defeatism is so clever that even those few people who have the opportunity to start their work with the magic of love, those who find themselves at a more advanced stage where they are living in a matrimony that has been legally constituted, where they know about the transmutation of their creative waters, where they know about invoking of the fire of Kundalini in those moments of intimate bliss so that they can together work and eliminate this or that psychological defect that they have been working. Defeatism is so clever that it will break marriages. It will allow someone just to drift away and get distracted with other doctrines, other practices, other schools, and abandon the work that would effectively give you 5 times or 10 times more power to reduce defects to nothing. That is what defeatism will do. For all purposes, defeatism is one of those mechanisms of the ego. It is an aggregate by itself, but it also is a defense mechanism of the ego. But we are so fortunate that we find ourselves here because of our own innermost. Because our consciousness is certainly active. And because it's active, well, as a magnetic center, it is bringing to itself by what people today refer to as the law of attraction, but then in reality is the force of love, manifestations of magnetism and affinity. It's bringing you, all of us, here so that we can talk about this openly, so that we can see it, and that when we see it, that we can not only perceive it, but decipher what it is, recognize it, so that we can observe it, comprehend it, and work towards its elimination. The essence of the Savior that exists inside of us is seeking to save that psyche, that consciousness, that divine material that we have been given so that we can eventually crystallize a radiant soul. We need to keep our eyes open on the defect of defeatism. We will bring about our best efforts. We will commit ourselves to doing work, and in many cases, many students even make vows, serious vows, into transforming their lives. But if we are not careful, these psychological aggregates of defeatism will start by erasing the memories of those vows. And the student will know that they did vows, but they will no longer have them present. They may even stand there and with a lot of conviction say, "For the honor and life, we will do this." But defeatism will go like this. Person will no longer remember that. The person may become a student of the intermediate level, of the advanced level. They will have in their hands the best and most profound teachings to be able to continue making progress forward. Defeatism will go like this. The person will forget the level of responsibility that that requires. Defeatism will take us slowly into very slippery slopes that are greased with doubt. And once we get ourselves there, we may slip, and it would be very difficult to recover. This is why it is so important to have someone in your life who is also working together with you. Because at times, defeatism, as it shows up, and if we are not watchful enough, it will start weakening any convictions. It will start weakening any dedications. It will start weakening tenacities. It will start weakening discipline. It will take that motto of the Gnostic student, telema, which is willpower, and it will weaken the willpower to continue doing the right, giving the right battle. And if we have someone in our lives with whom we are working, our husband, our wife, as we interact every day, as we see our reactions here and there, we can help them identify what is happening. We can help them bring them back into the work. Because if we don't, eventually, the sense of being defeated, the feeling of incapability or incapability, the feeling of being lost and asking and questioning the effort itself will just invite the practitioner to get out of the train of gnosis in the wrong station, to abandon the train before the train reaches its final destination. Dear friends, for us to be able to get back into that Garden of Eden, we need to observe, we need to comprehend, and we need to eliminate the psychological aggregates of defeatism. But for us to observe it, we first have to discover it. And we will be able to discover these defects in the daily interaction with others. If we choose to become hermits of the 21st century, we're not going to see that. And as it shows up and plants its seeds of doubt and capitalizes on any fears that we have, before you realize, you would abandon any work and you would go back to your old doings. We need to be very watchful so that the moment that it shows up, that we can bring about of that superior willpower, and that we can take away the fire from the defect of defeatism. Steal away the fire from that defect and use of that same energy for our own spiritual practice. If we do this and we see it, then we can observe it. And as we observe it, we can then see how is it that this defect interacts with our aspects of fear. How is it that it interacts with our aspects of doubt? How is it that it makes use of our prides and our self-loves and our self-considerations? We will see how it toys with our defects of ambition. We will see how it plays with our defects of laziness, so that we just focus on doing everything else except the right work. This is what we have to be looking for. This is exactly the thing that we need to be very watchful of. So that every time that we are in that psychological gymnasium that is life, and defeatism shows up after we have taken a couple of jabs from the difficult circumstances that we deal with every week, every day, that we just don't throw the towel. That even if we fall on our knees, that we can stand up and dust ourselves up and continue moving forward with no questioning, with no doubt. This is what we need to do to deal with the psychological aggregates of defeatism. So let's go ahead and let's look back just at the day today. And let's give ourselves the opportunity to see where, during the day, these aspects of defeatism show themselves up. We're going to start by relaxing our body, and we will invoke of our innermost and ask our inner spirit, our Father who is in secret, to show us exactly those moments during the day where these defects of defeatism showed themselves up. And the moment that those instances stand out like a sore thumb in your day, let's focus our attention and let's contemplate. Contemplate means let's observe without creating any interruption in the flow of those images. Let's observe just like when we sit on the sofa to watch a movie, but let's do that consciously. We will observe without being one of those actors caught in the drama. We are here, an aware spectator. By doing that, we empower that awakened consciousness within us. Whether it is 1% or whether it is 3% of consciousness, it doesn't matter. We are empowering it to be the observer. And let's embrace the principle of spontaneity. Images will come into our mind. Let's not reject them. Let's not say, it's not that, or it cannot be that, because that eventually leads you into doubt, and it's the doubt that is planted by defeatism itself. So let's embrace the principle of spontaneity and see how the innermost communicates, and observe. And as we observe, let's make an effort to comprehend. And as we comprehend, even if for this practice it's just a little bit, let's invoke of our Divine Mother so that she can bring of her flaming spear of arrows, and that she can turn whatever aspect of this defect we comprehend to cosmic dust so that it can weaken it, so that it can help us gain more power over it to eventually entirely defeat it. So let's go ahead, and for our exercise tonight, we are going to close our eyes. Let's do that. Let's make sure that we're sitting comfortably on our chair. Allow your feet to rest comfortably on the ground, and make yourself comfortable. Bring your attention to your physical body and see if there is anything that is creating any discomfort. Sometimes at this time of the day, the shoes feel a little tight. The belt may feel a little tight. Maybe the watch feels a little tight. If that's the case, loosen it. And let's do that so that the physical body is comfortable and we don't get distracted with sensations. And now that we have done that, let's make ourselves aware of our emotional state. It is very important that we're always aware of our emotional state, because defects that linger in the subconsciousness and even in the infraconsciousness may react violently. You will not perceive it, but the brain will. And the moment the brain feels that reaction, it will respond accordingly and release chemicals into your body. And suddenly, moved by a change in the concentrations of chemistries, suddenly you start feeling uncomfortable. You start experiencing different emotions. Sometimes we experience emotions and we don't even know why. Well, that's why. So let's make ourselves aware of our emotional state. There must be some of us out there who feel happy and content with the events of the day. That is phenomenal. There may be others who may feel a little indifferent. Maybe others who are a little preoccupied with a thing or two, worried about this, a little distracted. There are others who may be experiencing some fear because of problems. But what is life without problems? There may be others who may be experiencing the sensations of resentment because things have happened and there is that consideration that it has been unfair. And resentment leads into frustrations and angers. And yet there may be others that are past those fears, past those angers. They're past so many emotions that they have flooded their cylinders in the human machine. And they find themselves numb. In many cases, numb and experiencing periods of even some depression. The teachable point here is that regardless of what is the emotion, it doesn't matter. What is important is that we make ourselves aware of it. Because when we are aware of the emotion, we can then start seeing what are the thoughts that are preceding those emotions. And behind every thought, there is a psychological aggregate. So we just acknowledge how we feel. And whether we are happy or sad, whether the day has been easy or difficult, for whatever emotion we're experiencing, we just give thanks. And we express our gratitude for this new opportunity. And internally, we express our satisfaction for what we have experienced, and to the degree in which we have experienced it. And now that we are aware of all that, let's focus in our breathing. We will make our best effort to breathe in through the nose throughout the duration of this exercise. But we just don't want to breathe. We want to breathe consciously. Because when we breathe through the nose, at the root of the nose, there are some very interesting connections that take place. the right and the left nostril, they are connected to channels in the body that are semi-ethereal, semi-physical. Channels that are impossible to find by slicing open the skin with a scalpel and just looking for them. And from the left nostril, there is a channel in men that corresponds with the right testicle. That channel is known as Ida. And it is of a lunar nature, because in our creative waters, there are solar and lunar atoms. And the lunar atoms, as that water becomes transmuted, they flow through the channel of Ida from our creative organs all the way up to the chalice of our brain. In men, the right nostril corresponds with the left testicle. And the channel that connects both is known as Pingala. This is the channel through which the solar atoms flow. And these two channels wrap themselves around the spine, just as the two serpents wrap themselves around the caduceus of Mercury. So when we breathe through the nose, if you use your objective imagination, as you breathe in deeply and you seek to relax your body, with every inhalation, you can see as those particles of light can then rise from within our creative organs all the way up to the chalice of the brain. And in the women, the same happens. It is just that on the left side, there is the channel of Pingala. That is the solar nadis, the solar channel. And on the left side, there is Ida, the lunar nadis, the lunar channel. And they are inverted because when man and woman come together in those intimate moments of the magic of love, well, they truly complement each other as a single divine being. So we focus in our breath. And we will breathe in through our nose, out through our nose. And as we are seeking to relax the body with every inhalation, we allow the flow of that air to become almost imperceptible. And as you exhale, allow your body to sink just a little deeper onto the chair itself. So we breathe in 1, 2. And now that we feel that our human body is a little bit more calm, more relaxed, let's bring our attention to our feet. And let's use that same objective imagination, our faculty of clairvoyance, so that we can see little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, just as if they were walking out of our body one by one in a single file line. And as you observe them walk out of our body, you immediately feel that sensation of softness that starts on your toes and it runs along your foot to your heel, your ankle. And it expands up your shin and your calf all the way up to your knee. And we feel this sensation of softness in our body. And without identifying with it, we bring our attention back into our feet. And as we continue breathing in through our nose, out through our nose, we continue observing these little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And that sensation of relaxation growing from our knees upwards deep in our thighs, all the way up to our hips. And that sensation of relaxation radiates outward from deep in within our thighs, relaxing every muscle fiber and every particle in our thighs, until that sensation of relaxation reaches the very edge of our skin. And we feel this sensation of softness and comfort in our legs. And we limit ourselves to just experience gratitude for this new opportunity. And we feel the sensation of relaxation, and we also express our satisfaction with it, because it is right. It doesn't have to be more than this. It feels just right. And in that gratefulness, we continue breathing in through our nose, out through our nose. And as we focus our attention once again on the soles of our feet, and we continue observing that single file line of little gnomes walking out of our body, that sensation of relaxation continues upward, deep within the core of our body. Upward, up until it reaches our stomach. And as we continue breathing in through our nose and out through our nose, we allow that sensation of relaxation to expand within our abdominal cavity from deep within towards the outside. And we feel the relaxation in our organs. We feel the loosening of the muscles in our lower back. We relax our liver, our pancreas, our stomach, our spleen. We relax our intestines, allowing all of them to release any tension that has been induced by any worries, any preoccupations, any fears. We even relax our diaphragm. And we slowly start noticing that our exhalations now start becoming a little bit longer. A little bit more profound. And as we continue observing those little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet, we allow for that relaxation to continue growing, and we relax our heart, we relax our lungs, and we allow that sensation of softness just to grow from within and radiate towards the outside as a gentle blue light that emanates from the center of our heart. And we feel that sensation of softness in the muscles of our back, just as we feel them on our chest. And as it continues to grow on our shoulders, and we allow it to cascade down into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and for that blue light to emerge out through the tips of our fingers. And we are grateful for this moment. And we feel that sensation of softness, that gentle vibration that inundates the physical body. And we are satisfied with it. Because we know that each one of us gets exactly what we deserve and not a little bit more. And even when that is the case, this feels just right. For one last time, we observe once again those little gnomes walking out the soles of our feet. And we allow that sensation of relaxation to expand upwards. And we relax the muscles of our jaw and our tongue, our lips. We relax the muscles in our neck. We bring that relaxation at the back of the head, into that spot where the head meets the spine. And as we continue breathing in through the nose and out through the nose, with every exhalation, we relax the muscles of our face. We relax our eyes, our eyelids, the muscles of our forehead, and we ultimately allow that sensation of relaxation to cover all of our scalp until it reaches the very crown of our head. And as a blue light projects itself upwards into the heavens, towards the infinite. Make yourselves aware of this sensation of relaxation, and be certain that you can invoke it any moment today, or during the upcoming days. As this is what is meant to be the natural state of our bodies. And together we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you and we beg of you for your powerful assistance. We ask for your contribution. Grant us the faculty of imaginations, inspiration, intuition, so that we may see those things that the eyes of the flesh cannot see, so that we can understand the reason and the significance of things without having to think or to involve the logical process of the mind. And also so that we can understand the spiritual reality of that which we can perceive without relying on the intellect. We ask that you awaken these faculties in our consciousness. And we ask of you that as you guide us through this exercise, that you allow us to see those moments in the day where we were troubled by our own defects of defeatism. Allow us to see those moments. Allow us to see the transactions of that defect. Allow us to observe it without becoming part of the dramas. And allow us to comprehend it so that we may invoke of our Divine Mothers for their elimination. We ask of this in your holy name, by the universal charity, and in the name of the Christ. So be it. Now look back in your day. Start at this moment and go backwards. And embrace the principle of spontaneity. Don't reject the images and don't force them. Simply breathe. if you find yourself reliving the drama in your mind, and somehow you find yourself engaging in arguments or conversations, simply invoke of your Divine Father and ask Divine Father, we ask that you bring back that deep state of relaxation and focus on breathing. If you find yourself being distracted and focusing on multiple events, don't be like the hunter that goes out into the forest looking for 10 hares and comes back empty-handed. Focus on one event only. Observe how this defect affects your way of thinking at that moment. Observe how this defect takes you into a space of negative emotions. Observe how this defect is an instinctive response that is asking you to just don't deal with it. To abandon it, to walk away. And with that new level of understanding, we invoke of the power of our Divine Mother. Divine Mother, we're here at your presence asking of you, begging of you with our soul and our heart, that you take of your flaming spear of arrows, and that you turn this defect of defeatism into a cosmic dust. Reduce it to a nothing, so that you can liberate our consciousness as it is trapped in it. As we embrace the principle of spontaneity, an image of the Divine Mother may be revealed to you. And you will see her actively combating that defect. But you will also experience the kindness of your Divine Mother. And you will see from her gentle and delicate hands how she takes a very little speck of light, the size of a grain of sand, but that shines with the brightness of 1,000 suns, and how she deposits that back into the temple of your heart. Divine Mother, we give you infinite thanks for the help that you give us. And to you, Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for your guidance, for your contribution, for your protection. May all this materialize according to the will of the Great Law. So be it. We take another deep breath in. One, two. We slowly wiggle our toes and our fingers. Very well. Dear friends, and with that, we have done our little practice on how we can perceive, observe, comprehend, and overcome the psychological aggregates of defeatism. So, dear friends, this has been our Gnostic Lab for today. Not much for us to say. Thank you very much for being here with us. And may all beings be happy.